محمد ونصلي على رسوله. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون. حضرت رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would recite these two surahs often in the Maghrib sunnats and the Fajr sunnats. قل يا أيها الكافرون and قل هو الله أحد. As Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu says, that I was a businessman and traveling abroad for business reasons. But I would come back miserable, lost, not gaining, not prospering. And Rasulullah advised me that when you undertake a journey, then recite these five surahs. Surah Kafirun, Iza Ja, leaving out Tabbat Yada, Qul Huwallah, Qul A'udhu Bil Falaq, and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. You commence each surah with Bismillah, and you end with Bismillah. As Jubair says, radiallahu anhu, then I became about the most prosperous person in my Jamaat. Happy, no more misery, and relaxed, comfortable, and most prosperous. So, the surah, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, is equivalent to one quarter of the Quran Sharif. The hadith says that recite this before sleeping, because this is a declaration of immunity. You have distanced yourself from kufr and from the kafirs. So this is a declaration of immunity. So before you sleep, recite the surah, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. The reason for the revelation of the surah is this, that the hierarchies of Makkah Mukarrama, As ibn Wa'il, Uqba, and similar people that made some proposals to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they saw that they couldn't come to terms with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they made some proposals. The proposal that they made was that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you don't speak out against our gods and everything will be right. And maybe second proposal is just show some level of consideration for our practices and everything will be right. Some consideration. I just touch them, that's all, nothing more. We won't ask you for anything more. And for this consideration that you will show, then we will make you the wealthiest amongst us. All our wealth will give it to you. We'll make you the most influential person, that you become the undisputed ruler, that whatever you say, then we will execute your command. And number three is, we'll give you the best woman, the most prettiest of women, we'll give it to you. But just this is a problem that is carrying on. You are preaching about this, and this is just breaking up the entire Makkah Mukarrama. So all, this is what we require of you. Just do this, and then everything will be in peace. So the surah is revealed, Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, O Kafirs. Kafirs means those that do not believe in Allah Ta'ala, do not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not believe in the Akhirat, that's a Kafir. So the Quran Sharif is addressing the Kafir, La A'budu Ma Ta'budun. So this verse is repeated twice in the surah. And Lama explained, the first time it says it, speaking about the present tense, and the second time it repeats it, then it's speaking about the future tense. But presently, I do not worship what you worship, and for the future, I will not worship what you worship. And this is repeated two times. They have given two explanations to it primarily. One is what I have just explained, that I do not worship that which you worship, and I will not worship what you worship. And the second explanation they've given is that the deities and the gods that you worship, I will not worship. And number two is this, that your practices of worship, don't ever think that I will entertain them or practice them, not for now and not for the future. And then the surah ends up, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For you is your deen and for me is my deen. Imam Bukhari sahab, rahmatullah alayh, he translates deen as religion. So for you is your deen and for me is my deen. The second explanation is, like how we say, لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا. You will have to go through the consequence of your actions and I for mine. Whatever the consequence of my actions, I will see it, and the consequence of your deeds, you will see. So the Quran Sharif ruled it out that there is no such a thing that we can come to any common grounds. No common grounds. You are on a different lane altogether, and we are on a different lane altogether. Your direction is different, and our direction is different. So there can't be a reconciliation with kufr and disbelief. Like if someone wants to reconcile fresh, refreshing water or sewage, can it be reconciled? Even if it is that sewage is cleaned and you're seeing it more or less the water color, but you know that it was sewage water, can you reconcile? So iman and disbelief cannot be reconciled. And now for us to think that what a nice thing it would be that we can all join hands and be together. So this is an impossible dream. It's just a dream and an impossible dream. Because you want people of different faiths, different denominations at one venue, and all doing their own thing. So how can this ever be possible? Because one person amongst all the rest of the denominations, there's a Hindu, there's a Satanist, there's a Christian, there's a Jew, atheist, all different, right? So one person will commence his prayer, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. He asks Allah Ta'ala's protection against the rejected shaitan. He'll be cursing shaitan. He'll be saying that he's a rejected person. The other one will be commencing his prayer with imploring the blessings of shaitan. Shaitan, come to me. Now can they both reconcile? He's going on one direction complete. He's asking the blessings of Allah Ta'ala against shaitan, and he's asking for shaitan against Allah Ta'ala. So both are going on different lines. Now how can there be a reconciliation? Is it possible? It's not possible. It's just a dream, nothing more than a dream. One person is commencing his prayer, right? He's commencing a prayer with purity, cleanliness, park, is very particular about his bodily hygiene, his clothing, the place that he's performing namaz must be park. And the other person is commencing his prayer with urine. He must drink it, he must sprinkle it, he must have it on the food. Now, can both of them be reconciled? You can see now he's doing that urine. That's a prayer. Sprinkle it, drink it, anoint it. That's how you get the blessings. And this person is saying that this is total impurity, I feel so nauseated. Now, can you reconcile both? Can they be reconciled? So it can't be reconciled. It's impossible to reconcile the both. It's just a far-fetched dream, just an illusion, imagination. One person in his prayer says that the greatest worship is to say, La ilaha illallah, to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And this is how I commence my prayer, La ilaha illallah. He commences it. And the other person says that the prayer can only be commenced with polytheism. You must say three gods is one god, one god is three gods. You must believe in multiple gods. Otherwise, there is no access to prayer. Here he says that that person is totally doomed. La yaghfiru ayyushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. The worst crime under the sun is polytheism and joining partners with Allah Ta'ala. So can both of them be reconciled? It's impossible. How can they? He says that no, the entry is totally blocked. You can't access. And here he says you can only get access if you join up. So it's an impossible thing. If the wife says to the husband, you know, let's try and make a reconciliation. There was a problem between the spouses. So they say, let's come to some type of equitable terms. So she says, all right, I'll give you 5 days and 2 days in the week to my ex-boyfriend. She makes this type of a proposal to the husband. Is that acceptable? Right? Is that acceptable? Why? So, it's not acceptable at all, right? We know that it's not acceptable. So there are some type of differences that are not acceptable. If someone wants an American visa, he wants an American visa, and he goes in with a t-shirt, with up the Gaza, you know, and down to Israel, will they give him a passport? But he says, no, but you know, we need to learn to accept differences, must learn to agree to disagree. What? You give them all the bayan of agreeing to disagree. What the embassy will say, embassy, you go home and have a good sleep. You don't come here. Don't ever come here. Won't they give him the story? He says, no, he's just writing. I'm just showing you what my feelings are, like my sentiments are. So we need to understand that faith is a conviction, is a personal conviction, and that conviction cannot be affected by external influences. Sometimes we are contaminating our faith with external circumstances, external influences. Someone because of some social convenience, so your faith is getting damaged because of a social convenience. Sometimes it is a material convenience that we are allowing our faith and our iman to be affected. That if we will practice our faith, then we will have to cut off from some people. Right? Now, your faith tells you, Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Shame is a branch of iman. So, every level of shame, Islam will condone, will encourage, and will emphasize every level. Right? So that is iman. Iman is saying every level of shame and modesty you must encourage, you must practice, and you must apply. This one is saying, no, just learn to be open, have a mixed gathering, talk to women, be open, be clean-hearted. So as though when Islam was encouraging modesty, segregating, keep the woman aside, men aside, the Sahaba-e-Kiram were doing it, so their hearts were not good. Today, in the 14th or 15th century, now your heart is so refined that you can mix up with women and still have a clean heart. So today now you have excelled beyond the Sahaba-e-Kiram, beyond the pious of the past. So this is just a dream, it's a farce, it's just a front, nothing beyond a front. And I say when it's just a front and a farce, we need to understand it's a farce. Like example now, just show you, just to illustrate this point, right? That we can't reconcile shirk or disbelief, they can't be under in one venue. Can't. Because at some point you'll get caught off. So someone is saying that the right thing is, one person is saying the right thing is women's rights. Because women's rights are always being trampled and they're going very strongly. So they come have a feminist group, women's rights, gender equality, right? So they're talking about it, right? But the same person that is talking about women's rights and gender equality, etc., they're killing millions of women, old age children they're killing, starting from Japan to Vietnam to Afghanistan to Iraq and now to presently in Gaza. They're far away. They're supposed to be far in the West. What business they got here? They got absolutely no business, but their business is to kill. And just to give a good front, the front is no, you must talk about compassion, about love, get on Teresa as an actor and get on Pope as an actor to put up an act of love and compassion. So their religion now, they've changed it to love and compassion. But the love and compassion is now also one-sided. It's not something that goes across the board. It's not general. It's selective. Compassion and love is selective. But on one side you're killing. Senseless killing. Gaza, talk about Palestine, talk about Vietnam, talk about Iraq, talk about Afghanistan. Senseless killing. They have no business at all in Afghanistan. What business they have? No, just to butcher. We feel satisfied when we kill. Right? So on the one side you say, no, women's right, And then Afghanistan doesn't allow women to go to universities. Say, no, you are cruel to women. But the millions that they've killed, it looks like a joke, a real joke. Millions they've killed is a woman's right. They say you must be honest, must be fair, right? Be fair and honest. But they are the worst thieves. If it was not for them robbing Africa for its minerals and the Middle East for its oil, etc., will these countries survive for one day? They can't survive one day. But they got a glossy picture. No? We are the champions of honesty, of good, of fair play. We are. But they're robbing all the time, engaging them in mutual fights, etc., ravaging wars, and coming like with a bully boy tactic to the West, from the West to the Middle East, that you don't play the game with us, then you'll see what happens to you. So it's a bully boy, you pay us the fees and we'll see to your protection. So on the one side you talk of fair play, on the one side you are guilty of the whole thing. And the whole world knows about it. It's not a secret now. By now everybody's read history and saw the news and they know what's going on. So Islam is talking by that conviction is, the iman is conviction. So it's not a thing about some type of a social convenience or a material convenience. No, that's not iman. That is just material convenience or is a social convenience. If you don't go to this place here or to this dawah, etc., then they may just think bad about us. So iman is not about a social convenience. It's about what's your conviction. Will Allah Pak be happy or not? So Allah Pak is in front. After that, everything else comes. So one of the requirements of iman is وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَعِيمٍ. When it's the rights of Allah, you're not worried about any person's criticism, any type of criticism, negativity, you're not worried about. Because it's Allah's work. You're not worried about. If it was, for example, your wife, right, and someone was trying to flirt, so you worry about the negative, say, no, you're too jealous of your wife. He tried to flirt. He didn't do anything. He just tried to flirt. He said, no, it's all right. We are open. Our hearts are very clear. Let him carry on. Will you have that? So you take it personal. So exactly the same when it relates to our iman, that we take it as a personal thing, as a personal attack. And then we will stand in the defense. And then we're not worried about criticism. Like your wife, you're not going to be worried about criticism. It doesn't mean that Islam doesn't talk about reconciling differences, etc. That's a wrong message. Yes, there are some areas where we can reconcile, we can come to some agreeable settlement. In dunya affairs, matters of the dunya, we can agree to some settlement. Like for example, we all agree that we should be driving on the right, kuffar, Muslims, everybody, right? It's a dunya thing, it doesn't relate to our deen. It's a security measure for the goodness of this world. We'll agree to it. We won't oppose that. So things that are permissible, things that are of a dunya nature, then we will not disagree, we will not fight, we will not contest it. So we all agree, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, that you pay the debtor on time. Don't procrastinate, don't delay, right? So Muslims, non-Muslims, all can agree. We will all agree that the person that is a thief, is a criminal, that he must be dealt with correctly, right? So we can all agree on that. If it's a criminal, is a thief, then we will agree on that. But in dini matters, then we will not reconcile. We'll say, now, let's all shangane, all get together, and can have a happy, clappy community. No, we can't do that. You go your way with your urine and whatever else, and we'll go with our purity. You go with your Satan, etc., and you can carry on. So, lakum dinukum waliyadin. When you don't want to accept, in spite of us advising you, then you go your way. You will see the consequence of your actions, and we will see the consequence of our actions. We are talking of pure truth, undiluted conviction. And you're talking of something diluted, and then now you want us to reconcile with some dilution. How can it happen? Like sewage and pure water. Although that sewage became a little bit clean, came like crystal water, but you're not going to drink it. You know what it is. You know exactly what it is. So you can't reconcile. So therefore the Quran says, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. And therefore the hadith encourages that this surah must be recited before sleeping. Because you made a declaration against, you made a declaration of immunity against all wrong. And for our purposes and understanding, understand, Every day we are making this promise with Allah Ta'ala. Every Muslim has got some iman, he understands. He makes declarations, I got nothing to do with you. With the sinful and with the kafirs, I got nothing to do with you. Every day we make this confession. وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. Every day we are saying it. And we don't realize what is the ramifications, what is the meaning of this. We're saying it clear that Allah, we separate ourselves. But then we're parting with them, sitting with them. No, Mr. John, you are very right. You must carry on with your faith. Very good. You know, it'll affect people. So we're giving a clear invitation to kufr. Clear. And we can't see it. Just beneath our nose we are seeing it. And we can't understand it. Because our minds have been all blocked. So the Surah Kafir, read it, understand it, digest it very well for our iman to be safe, undiluted and not polluted. Allah grant us all.